Blog Talk Radio. Well, good evening, folks. This is Dave Schmidt. I'm your host here again tonight on the Sedona Connection. It's 7 o'clock here in Sedona, Arizona, 6 on the West Coast, 9 p.m. on the East Coast. And, folks, for those of you in the Eastern United States listening live here tonight, gee, I'm so sorry that you're having such a cold wave and some of you are in freezing temperature. It was sunny and 74 degrees in Sedona today. Can I tease you? No, I understand. It was funny. I was watching the news last night, and I don't watch the TV very much, you know, folks, especially the mainstream media news. I had enough of that during the years that I was in politics. But I was watching that, and I saw the weather report come on, and they were talking about how this reporter came on in Texas, and she was freezing cold, and it was below freezing at 32 degrees. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, what's going on? And that's when I went and I clicked on my little, you know, weather channel thingy here on my computer, and I could saw the whole eastern United States was basically in a cold zone. They had a cold front that had come down out of Canada, and it didn't hit us here in the western United States, and so it was just normal, wonderful, sunny, 74 degrees, perfect weather. I went out for a ride on my mountain bike today. Since I've lived here in the Sedona area, I've become a mountain biking fan because it's a great exercise. It's a way for me to go out and I get really good aerobic workout exercise with it. And so that's what I love to do. So tonight, dates, rates, and other info that's taking place on the RV. So we're going to be talking about tonight. If you want to call in, the number here is 646-716-8069. And when you call in, if you got some questions, love to have you call in tonight, folks. Love to have the questions. That's what we're going to do. A lot of open format again tonight. And but you got to press 1 on your touchtone phone. The number is 646-716-8069. And for those of you when you log in on to the program there, you got the if you see it, there's the room for the chat room. The chat room's open, but what I got 53 users there but they're all listed as guests. Folks, what you do need to do, you need to sign in with a name. And when you sign in a name, that then gives you the ability to send off any questions that you can have for me. You get to see the chat window, everything that is there. Some of you can chat back and forth and stuff like that. Go for it. I have to admit, I'm kind of learning how to use this chat format here. I hadn't done that. I was oblivious to it. I was just so used to talking. I wasn't familiar with what was going on there in the chat. So use the chat window, folks. If you don't want to call in with a question and you got a question, learn how to use that chat window. You have to basically give a name, a username to yourself. And then once you do that, you can just fire away. It's the windows down at the bottom. Where you want to enter your text, you go down to the very, very bottom underneath it where it says, font options, and they add a little smiley window, and then you can predefine your message and stuff like that, and that's where you can do that. And then for folks, again, those of you who are just calling in by the phone, if you want to talk on the air, got questions or comments, you got to press the 1 on your touchtone phone. That lets me know. And the number there is 646-768-069. Okay, so I sent out a new, I've had two newsletters in the last week. Last week I talked about the reality check on the rates, wanting to say, gee, what's really going on there? What is the rates? And I want to talk just a little bit more about why, and then the newsletter I sent out yesterday, I came back and said, yeah, $36 is possible. On the previous newsletter I said, gee, that's not very realistic. Let me further explain what I mean by that. When I started this, it was about the second week in May when I really started paying attention to this, and I've been diligent with it every day since. It was back then they were posting the rates on the dinar were only in the area of around, you know, 345 to 350, and they were quoting that the dong was going to be in probably the 45 to 47 cent range. And it kind of stayed that way for a month or two, and then they just started going up and up and up. And right now they're being posted all the way up to around $37 for the dinar, and it was $6.86, I'm just going off the top of my head right now, what I saw for the dong. The difference, folks. Somewhere along the way, somebody has to pay the bill. And what I mean by paying the bill is when you take your dong and your dinar into the bank and exchange it, and they're going to give you U.S. dollars, somebody's got to pay for that. There's no such thing as a free lunch. So and when saying somebody's going to pay for it, what is the source of the money? Early on, we were saying that there was the whole issue about the oil credits with China. And for that to be something, China has about, I don't know, and I'm speaking off the top of my head, but China has well over $1 trillion of U.S. bonds that they have been purchasing for decades. And supposedly, if that is the source that's going to pay for all that, and where China wants, you know, China will put up the money for the dinar, they get the dinar, they use the dinar to purchase oil from Iraq, and Iraq gives them oil at a discounted rate. Iraq gets the dinar in country very early. And if the source of the money is predominantly coming from China, then those rates at 36, 37 on the dong and dinar and $6 on the dong, those are not realistic rates. There just isn't that much money out there. Because let's stop to think this through. And this is what I had mentioned on the first of the last two newsletters I put out, the one about reality check on the rates. The United States total gross domestic product, that means that is the product that all the people and the wage earners were earn here in the United States in a full year. Last year, in 2012, it was not even $15 trillion. Now, supposedly, the United States government alone has over 1 trillion dinar, and I've heard as high as 3 trillion dinar. Let's take a medium figure. Let's take 2. Let's say they have 2 trillion dinar, and the rate's going to be $37. What's 2 trillion times 37? You're looking at $74 trillion. Who's going to pay the $74 trillion when the total U.S. GDP is only 15? So do you see what's happening there, folks? I don't think just what the U.S. government alone holds is going to be 5 times greater than the annual U.S. GDP. That's why in those circumstances of who's going to foot the bill, that rate is a very unrealistic rate. So if you take what the U.S. government has, what other governments have, what Wales have, and what the 3 to 4 million of us has, there could be 5, 6 trillion, 7 trillion dinar out there, and at $37 each. Now, I understand not everybody is going to get that rate. There is a probability that that could happen. But you know the governments will, and you know those of us, you know the whales will, and you know those of us that are on the 800 number list will, and that's probably a good 70 to 80% of what everybody, the total dinar that's going to be out there. The people who haven't been following this for a long time, they're not on the 800 number group list. Those are your moms and pops and your individuals out there who have probably been holding this dinar for a year, 2 years, 5 years, probably aren't even paying that much attention to it anymore. Those are the folks that will likely not get the higher rates, but they don't make up the highest percentage of the total outstanding dinar. That's why that rate is not realistic. Now let's just even go over to the dong. You know, you can purchase 1 million dong at a bank or at a Travelex, you know, station at an airport for roughly $50. There are people out there that got 50 into 100 million dong. There are people out there that, there are trillions of dong out there. So if you even if there's a trillion dong out there to exchange, you're now looking at another $37 trillion, more than twice the gross GDP of the United States. When did the Vietnamese dong become more valuable than twice of the U.S. GDP? Now, that's why those rates are not realistic rates. Now, let's come back and talk about where that money could come from. Those of you who have sent me emails and asked for the YouTube videos that I have, on the second video, I give my opinion on the possibility of where that money could be coming from. And in the newsletter that I sent out the other day, I also talk about the whole issue of what is called the Dragon Family in China. Folks, let me just say, I don't have to be convinced that these folks are real. I've had a personal encounter with a person who has met with them. I told you in there that I had a person who pulled out and showed me a $30 million Federal Reserve bond that he had received in a meeting from them. That was the first thing. That was almost 2 years ago for me. And now that I've been doing this radio show and sending out the newsletters, and I've got, you know, the number of people I have on my newsletter list, I get information back from folks. I had a email and I had a phone call with a gentleman who said he's met with the Dragon family 7 times. I've had people tell me they have been following Poof or with Zap and Susan now for 10 to 15 years and that they are aware of that and they know them personally. And that Poof had met with the Dragon family many times himself. And then you get reports coming from others, and I'm going to give one person's name specifically. His name is Ben Fulford, and you can Google him. Ben isn't even into any of this stuff. Ben used to be the senior editor of the Asia Bureau of Forbes magazine. And Ben basically has turned into a whistleblower par excellence of basically overcoming the cabal. He fights the cabal. He's had his life threatened many, many times. Ben knows they exist. He knows about all the gold that they have. And we don't even truly know how much that is, but it's over thousands of trillions of dollars. So could they be the ones who would be funding the $2 trillion for the U.S. government and the couple trillion others for the whales and the rest of us? Yes, that is possible. That is possible. So that is why it's possible that the $36 rate could be there. Now, those are the two different issues of how that comes up. And do I know? No, I don't know. Some people say they know. Personally, I kind of doubt that a little bit because none of this stuff is etched in stone. A lot of that all comes down to who's going to pay the bill, who's going to release the money, and that's what's going to be dependent upon the rates. Now, some of you have been emailing into me asking about the dong. Why do I talk always about the dinar and I don't do anything about the dong? Because there's just no intel out there about the dong. You go to these blog sites, and these blog sites were all started around the dinar. The dinar is what makes the news. The dinar is what we can follow is what's happening in country in Iraq every single day. There's an incentive for Iraq to revalue. Iraq can make the decision to revalue on their own. The dong has been a suppressed currency since the beginning of the Vietnam War close to 50 years ago. Somebody did email me and said prior to their currency being devalued, it was around $2.20 is what one dong would give you, $2.20. And then when they went into the war, they're basically during the wartime that their currency was devalued. And then after the war was over, 1972, 73, somewhere in there, you know, basically Vietnam became a communist country. And they have basically been a form of a communist country ever since then, and under the suppression of China. And so China has basically kept their currency suppressed. And so that's why their currency is so out of line. Now, but China doesn't have the ability to revalue their currency to bring it back onto the foreign exchange market because it's already on the foreign exchange market. The dinar is not. You cannot take your dinar into a bank and say, give me some U.S. dollars. because it's not currently tradable on the foreign exchange market. They were delisted from the market by the United Nations. Now, if you remember the history behind this, it was on June 27th that the United Nations voted to bring Iraq back into what is called a Chapter 6 status that allows them, their currency, to come back onto the foreign exchange market. And ever since June, it's been, what, 4.5 months now that we've been waiting for this. It's been issues of getting all the banking systems worked out, the trading systems worked out, the computer systems worked out, and now it's down to getting the ego of politics worked out. Well, that's the latest report, how I understand it. The only thing that's holding this thing up is basically the ego of a couple of people in Iraq. Malaki, prime minister, and Massari, I think is his name. And I'm not sure what his title is. I think he's the head of what we'd call their Congress or legislature, is what it is, for their parliament. I didn't have time today to go in and Google his name, but I think that's what it is, who he is. If anybody knows that, and you could just send a note to me on the chat window, that would be great. So, okay. excuse me. That's the reason why we don't have anything on the dinar. The dinar to revalue is dependent upon a global currency reset. And that means that all 180 to 190 currencies around the world are going to reset. And they're going to reset based on the assets that are there within their country, because we're going to go back to asset-backed currencies. There's not as much talk about that as there is on the dinar, because the dinar is it's down to now a simple decision of the prime minister and the parliament in Iraq saying, oh, press the button, do it. Everything is ready to go. So that is why the dinar could revalue on its own without a global currency reset. The dong, and there's two other currencies that are out there that are in the same position as the dong, but they're not as well known. And that's the Indonesian rupiah and the currency in Zimbabwe. And I don't remember right off what that currency is called. But those are the other two currencies, the other three, that will be dramatically impacted on a global currency reset. Why a global currency reset? There are eight countries in the world that are the dominant economic countries, and they're called the G8. It's basically the countries of Europe and Japan and the United States. Those are the countries. Those countries dominate the world economics, but all of those countries use fiat-based currencies. Now, what is a fiat currency? It means its currency is only backed by the good word and deed of the government. There is nothing like gold that is behind it, backing it up to keep it solid. And fiat currencies go through huge swings of inflation. They go through huge changes. And supposedly, there has never been a fiat currency that has never collapsed. At some point in time or another, it always collapses. All of the G8 countries are so far in debt, they're bankrupt. They are theoretically bankrupt. They are bankrupt beyond their ability to repay. Now, remember, a couple weeks ago, we had the debacle in Congress about the U.S. government's budget, and the government went for a shutdown for a couple weeks because Congress didn't pass a budget. But what happened was that Congress did, they didn't basically establish a new budget. All they did was increase the borrowing, the debt limit. It's like you got a credit card and you're using the credit card to pay all your monthly bills and you don't have enough money to pay your credit card off. You just don't have it. But what you do, you go to the bank and say, hey, bank, will you up my credit card limit so I can borrow some more money to pay my bills? That's what the U.S. government did. And they only did it for about 3 months and they kicked the can down the road. But what that did do, it woke up a lot of the countries around the world, because it was shortly right after that China put out a public statement and say, United States, you are in such deep trouble economically and your political system with your politics is in such a mess that you won't even pay your bills. We don't want your currency used as the world's reserve currency anymore. We do not trust you. And there are more and more countries jumping onto that bandwagon. And when they do that, it begins to build the pressure to do a global currency reset. It's going to collapse. Karen Hudes, a lot of you are familiar with the name of Karen Hudes, and I'll spell that name for you because on the radio it's Karen, and then Hudes, H-U-D-E-S. You can go in, you can Google her name, and you can go into YouTube and put her name in the search window, and you will see some interviews that she has had. Karen used to be the counsel, the attorney, for the World Bank for about 20 years, and she got fired, and she's turned into a whistleblower. Here's a lady who's in the know. She had networks and connections with all of the finance ministers of almost every country in the world. She was the legal counsel for the World Bank. She basically told them, you're running in a corrupt system. You're not running by what is called the rule of law. And she basically said the countries are ready to collapse because of their currencies, because of what they're doing is so corrupt and it's so out of line. And she said, if there is not a change, and she was alluding to a global currency reset, if there is not a change of a global currency reset, the whole global world economy is going to collapse. So we're heading on a train that's going to the cliff, and the cliff is collapse. What's going to stop that is the global currency reset. And that's where the dong comes in, because many of you are listening out there, you only have dong and you don't have dinar. What you do on that is totally your choice. I purchased both because I always wanted to be careful, because I knew that the dong was dependent upon a global currency reset. I knew the dinar was not. There is a probability they could both happen at the same time. There's a probability they may not both happen at the same time. And if the dinar revalues first, there is a possibility it could reduce the value of the dong. That's why you don't hear much about the dong. For those of you who are holding dong only, instead of trying to get information on the dong and stuff coming out of Vietnam, follow the news about the global currency reset. That's when you will be able to have an idea of what's happening, what is the reliability of that, what's going to take place. And folks, there's just not much information on that at all. Okay, there isn't. There's very little information on that coming out. So that's kind of it. That's kind of an overview. Just to let you know, my wonderful, wonderful assistant Penny is not with me here tonight. So I'm running the switchboard by myself. What that means is if you call in and you would like to come on the air and chat with me, you're not going to be what is called pre-screened. Normally Penny would come in, she would talk with you, she would get your name, where you're from, and stuff like that. I'm not going to be able to do that tonight, so I'm going to be going right directly to the callers. And I've got one caller here already on the line. And folks, hey, feel free, call in with your questions. Press the number one on your touchtone phone. But I'm going to a caller, and caller, you're from the area code 772, and you just went away. There was a guy, I was just getting ready to go to him, and he had 772, and he just went away. So folks, I don't have anybody here right now who wants to call in and talk. And I don't have anybody asking any questions on the chat room. So let's talk a little bit about my newsletter that I put out the other day. And this was 2 days ago. And the stuff that's just been coming up just recently. Let me just do this. I'm just going to read a little bit of the newsletter. It says, let me start with this. I've never seen so many of the dinar gurus, bloggers, and others all on the same page. Something is obviously taking place. Either they are all getting bad intel or the RV is about ready to take place. Well, what happened, folks, is they were all getting information saying that the Iraqi parliament was ready to take a vote. And supposedly that vote happened on Sunday morning, Iraqi time, which is late Saturday night for us here in the United States. For West Coast, it was 10 p.m. It was 11 here in Arizona. It was 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And when they did that, supposedly their constitution says that there's a 72-hour waiting period for that to come into effect, which would have been 3 days. And so that's why they were saying that that was ready to be done on last night, Tuesday night, 11 p.m. here in Arizona, 10 p.m. on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And when that happened, they were all basically saying, we're ready to go. The 800 numbers are ready to be released. Well, here we are now. I'm looking, 19, 20 hours later. Nothing's come out yet. You know, I'm here on the radio. I haven't been on the blog site on Dinar Recaps for the last half hour. So I haven't seen anything new that's come up there. Let me just go do a quick link here on Dinar Recaps and see if we see anything new, anything different that's coming out. That was the wrong one with what I did there. Let me try this one more time as I do the link, and I'm sitting here at my computer bringing up the I'm not seeing anything new that has come out on the time issue around that being released. Now, but also remember, the one that was really kind of making the difference was Mountain Goat. And if I remember right, I also think that the Poof Zap post was saying the same thing. Yes, it would come out around Tuesday night, Wednesday, but they wouldn't be releasing it to the banks because they usually would use what is called the Thursday through Sunday window. And some people may, it might happen tomorrow, which would be Thursday. So there is a possibility of that taking place. So that's the scenario. It's like, it was really interesting to see how they were all on the same page. They were all on the same page. And that's what gave me a lot of confidence in what was taking place. And then I did talk about how them all being on the same page. I did make the difference of why the $36 rate could be a realistic, you know, talking about the St. Germain's Trust. Okay, I do have a caller. Caller, area code 520. I'm going to be bringing you on the air. This is Dave, area code 520. What's your name and where are you from?
Hey, Dave. Hi, this is Trisha in Tucson calling.
Oh, thank you.
Yep, right down, just down the road from you there.
Yep, yeah.
I do have a couple of questions. You were just mentioning Mountain Goat. I wanted to mention something about her and then something else which may sound a little bit odd. But anyway, Mountain Goat, you know how I'm going to use the word conservative because she's always been very careful about what she predicts. We have understood her to be a very good investigator and that her sources have been, you know, pretty spot on all along. And as you know, and you were just talking about her, but I didn't hear the last few words as I was dialing in, that, what was it, just a few days ago, she was absolutely predicting that this whole Dinar thing was going to come to a head and we were going to, quote, go to the banks, you know, within the next few days. Now, that was in this past week. I know you've read that.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Because she, you know, she's one who we've all felt has been probably the only sane one or one of the few sane ones on that, on the website. I'm just curious what you think.
Well, it always depends on the sources, and that's the key. It depends on the sources, and yet even the sources themselves are not the decision makers. And so that's the problem is, see, the sources are the independent sources. And I think Mountain Goat has very, very good sources. I remember reading a while back that, you know, she had a background as a professional investigator, private investigator.
Uh-huh.
So she knows how to use sources, how to read sources. And if she gets bad info from the sources and it comes out once or twice, she shuts off and she won't go back to him again. She's not going to depend her reputation on that. That is so in contrast to some of the others. And I'm not going to bad name the others. I'm not going to go there. People can figure that out for themselves. But when it's just day after day and week after week, month after month, that intel that comes out, it's just flat out wrong. You know, there's to me that there's something wrong with about the integrity of something like that. And it's that, how could a person be so wrong night after night for months without a conscience? You know, and they don't even admit it hardly at all. They just kind of bypass it. That tells me there's something really deeper going on there. I'm not going to get
and
into
also,
saying that.
Oh, sorry.
But go ahead. You go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and also, all those, if you keep reading the chats or the comments and so on, God love them all out there, but they're just hanging on to this fairy tale and listening to these guys day, as you say, you know, day after day, week after week, month after month, saying the same thing over and over again. And it is just sad that folks are not letting themselves wake up, many of them, it seems, because the comments keep, you know, coming, and I'm just so afraid, not afraid, but I'm just concerned for the folks who are just living kind of in la-la land and not being realistic and somehow not being able to look at something other than that big dream in the sky, which, again, the inflated numbers and all of that kind of thing.
Well, I talked about that a couple newsletters ago, and it's what I call relational romanticism for the people that read through that. And the newsletter was quite long. It's a mental state, and I don't want to call it a condition or a sickness. It's not all that, because we all do that at some time in our lives. It's a very natural process. We all get into romanticism, where we dream of something that is out there that is so great, it makes us feel so good, and it's the thoughts of thinking about it that give us these wonderful feelings. Where it becomes a problem is when you use that to avoid or escape the painful thoughts of things not going right. There's a lot of people that use that as what is called a visualization process. Let's say it's a person who is financially strapped. Financially, they're in debt, and it's very painful. It hurts, you know, painful emotionally wise. It's an ugly situation for you. You don't see it. You can even fall into a depression about it. Well, you start using visualization to escape from that pain, and you're becoming in denial of it. It's when you're in denial of it instead of facing into it and learning how to face into it and process yourself through that. Now, that's a whole different story, you know, about how you basically, you know, step in to heal a lot of your own emotional pain. But there's lots of people to do that. They get caught into that so deeply. They don't, and people who, what I call either light workers or even really strong, what I call strong Christians, will have a tendency to do that. They romanticize their relationship with God, whatever you call God, and you use that as a way to escape the pain of this third-dimensional physical world we live in. I don't like it here. And so they're kind of living in what's called their upper thoughts or their upper chakras, depending on, you know, what camp you come to explain that. You're living in the dream thoughts most of the day, throughout the day. That's where it becomes a problem. And I just think that's where a lot of people are. Now, and part of that, it's just a growth process that people go through. You know, I mean, it's not something that's always horribly bad, but it explains why. You could have somebody from month after month just being wrong, and they just keep saying it, and how month after month people will keep listening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, okay, I still read it and I browse it, but I don't listen to the radio programs. I don't have to listen to the conference calls. I don't have time to do that. I just don't.
Yeah.
You know, I have to admit, even in my newsletter, I said, when I first got involved in this, I felt myself in there for 2 to 3 weeks, so pulled into it, wanting to know what was going on, feeling almost sucked into it, hoping it was going to happen tomorrow, until I said, wait a minute, stop, what's going on? What is this doing to my thoughts? What is this doing to me? You know? And I thought, I want to bring myself back to having a life and being more balanced, where I'm not living in this delusional romantic land every day. And in the process, I'm ignoring what goes on in the everyday part of my everyday real life. And to me, that's why that happens. And
Makes sense. I listen to a lot of the Enlight radio programs, and I, you know, have heard also some of the channeled information coming on pretty strongly since about August, off and on, okay, about the reset and about the revaluation of the dinar and so on. From time to time, some of this channel information has been very positive, and that things were going to really pop, and I'm not using the right terminology here, but you know what I'm saying. And I don't know. I mean, I myself probably am being pulled into even that part of it,
you
because I towards those that kind of information.
Sure. And, you know, and it's just as easy to get caught into romanticism with that that it is with the Dinar issue. And when I say that, I'm not saying that the channeled messages coming through are wrong. Sometimes it's just how we interpret the message. We hear something that we say and we interpret it through our own filter to want us to make it feel good about something that we're involved in. And I see that happen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just some of the channeled messages that have just been flat. They've been talking about, you know, it's going to happen this weekend, next week, and they've been flat out wrong. Now, why would that be? And I am not in any way castigating the messengers, you know, the channelers when they say that. I've talked with a couple of friends about that, and in here in Sedona, there's no shortage of people like that. I mean, I could get on the phone and probably get 10 in one day, get 10 different opinions. What I think happens is, see, when a person is psychic or doing a channeling, they're focusing on a single channel or wavelength of energy information coming at them. And when they do that, they can be very good at what they do. And they can be spot right on what they do. Because a lot of us, if we've sat down, you realize this message coming through is that this person doesn't even know me. And they just opened up my book of life, telling me everything about what's going on. And so because information that comes through in thoughts, it's almost like cell phone communications. It's wirelessly communicated in energy packets. And it gets received, and that is a person who has that ability to tap into that channel and understand that and hear that. What's easy when you only have one or a few people to work with, but when you've got millions, it's scattered all over the place, and the energy is scattered and it's diffused. And I think that's why the channelers are having trouble with this. It's just bigger than them, and it's beyond them, and it's beyond some of the best.
The energies around the millions of people who are just the either like listening to the program or are focused on it or whatever are kind of creating static, as it were, with the channeler?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. It's like there's so many channels of information putting out energy vibrations. And can I do this? Can I explain this a little bit more while I have you on the line? Because this is good for everybody. Okay.
Okay.
I was thinking about this tonight, and I've been reading this in the recent new book that David Wilcock came out with called The Synchronicity Key.
Yeah.
Science has already shown this to us, but it has really moved into what is called the public sphere of understanding, the public domain of understanding. Because when science makes new discoveries, it usually takes somewhere between 20 and 40 years before it becomes a part of something that's taught to us in our schools. We grow up with it, and it's a part of our culture. But what they have already proven is that the human thought is extremely powerful. And when we have thought, it sends out like wireless communications. And they can even get into the level within the person at the DNA level. And at that deep right inside the DNA, like little tiny light packets that are very similar to data packets of computer information, computer code. Because when when computer code is sent, it's always a combination of ones and zeros. That's all that it is. And so when you type in a letter on the keyboard, that puts in a certain subset of ones and zeros and sends it across electronic means of energy packets. Like, it's a type of high-speed wireless communication situation. Well, thoughts do the same things. So when the human thought goes out, it sends out the same type of a communication that's very similar to a cell phone transmission. Because when you talk into a cell phone, you talk to the phone, a modem translates that into electronic data bits of combinations of ones and zeros, sends that wirelessly to the phone receiver, and then the modem on the other end translates it back into sounds, the words that we're speaking, that we understand. A person who is psychic or who does channel basically does the same thing. It's just a different form of it, but it's more of a crude form. And when you've got hundreds of thousands of these all coming in at the same time, it gets scattered. it's more scattered than, I guess I would use the word, static. And I think that's why sometimes it doesn't make any difference whether it's the channeled messages, because we have a tendency to think channeled messages are more perfect. We have a tendency to think that they're a higher source of information. When you really come right down to it, a channeled source of information is a reflection of what's happening with inside of you, is what it is. They're reading the energy coming from you, and it's almost like, because if you come back to the concept of everything in the universe is related, everything in the universe is one, it's a reflection of your own higher self that's coming out that you're hearing when you're in a channeled situation. Because what's happening is that channeler is using another form of communication, i.e. an angel or some other source, that we can conceptually see or think of or perceive as a viable source of information. So we trust it as another source outside of ourselves. In reality, it's something that's coming from inside of us, is what it is. But then you combine it with hundreds and thousands and millions around the world all at the same time. It's really hard for that channeler or that psychic to focus in on a single source. And that's why I think sometimes they're wrong. They have great intentions, but they're wrong. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for that explanation. Can I go on to one other question?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. This is a little odd, Dave, but many months ago, I remember reading somewhere on some website, this fellow had been interviewed by someone, and he said, you know, there are a lot of us out here without jobs right now, and he said, I want to tell you that there are those folks out there who contact us. I was one, not me personally, but the fellow was talking, and he said, I'm a writer, and he said, I'm looking for work or whatever, and these guys come along and say, look, we want good writers who can go into blog sites and write articles or throw in information that's just going to absolutely upset the apple cart.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know it may sound odd, but I read this and I thought, is this really real? But this guy said, you know what, I had to quit this job because in my own conscience, I could not do this any longer. But it was a source of information thrown into the websites or into the blogs and whatever, and I don't know whether this has anything to do with all of these things we're getting from, quote, intel sources, you see what I'm saying? Whether or not a lot of this information is purposefully being given to the bloggers to create the chaos. It's like hackers and computers. Well, I mean, why do people sit around in the world and want to hack your computer and cause chaos and cause problems for other human beings? I mean, why is that, you know?
Because they're either getting paid
to do it or
they're sick.
So anyway, I have a question. Have you heard about this before? This fellow was he was really down to earth, and he said, I just really had to stop this whole thing because I couldn't sleep at night. I was lying, and yet I was told I had to absolutely cause chaos on these websites, stir up problems with people's information that they were getting. So I just thought I'd throw that out and wondered what you thought about that or heard about.
I remember reading that article from that gentleman. And actually what happens, they kind of run, I don't want to use the word sweatshop operations, but they will go into they will hire them. They won't tell them who their sources are. They pay them very good money. And these are people who are desperate for money, and they desperately need the money, and they're good writers. And so they come in, and they will only stay in a location for a couple of days, because when the information starts going out, good hackers can trace back to the physical address of where that computer is located. And so by the time they get back to that, they've already gone to another location. And so they're constantly moving around. Their names, who pays them, is never disclosed to them. Quite often, they don't even meet face-to-face with the person. They only talk with them encryptedly on the phone or over the computer themselves and what they're told they're supposed to write about. And the money is delivered to them quite often electronically, or else somebody delivers it to them anonymously through cash. But the money is so good, so desperate for the money, they do it. But, there are disinfo agents out there that create the chaos in the mind. And I've talked about that a couple times, a couple articles, what it's called, the chaos in the mind. And I get it. Mm-hmm. See, I believe, see, the cabal that runs and controls our money, they're not dumb. They are really bright people. They know and understand the power of human thought. And they know and understand if they create chaos in the mind, if they create our minds constantly running what we call with chatter, with drama, and with the monkey mind thoughts going on, then you can't focus your minds on the positive energy thoughts. It's really what's interesting, and David Wilcock gets into this in his book. And remember what I just talked about, how your mind produces little tiny microwave data bits of information that it sends out like a wireless communication. And if it's thoughts that are focused on high energy of love, light, forgiveness, joy, peace, those are very high vibrating energy thoughts. If that goes out and it opens up people to receive. But if your thoughts are filled with anxiety, fear, worry, anger, and hatred, those are low energy thoughts. They vibrate at a different frequency. And what they do, they clutter the mind from being able to produce positive things, is what they do. There's a verse in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, where it talks about, you know, that God was found not in the storm, but in the quiet, still voice. And then there's a phrase in A Course in Miracles that says, the voice of God is heard in the quiet mind. It's the mind that's free of chatter and free of drama.
Yes.
And that's one of the most important things that we can do in this process, is just shut down the drama of all the thoughts of all this stuff. And that's why I've written what I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Is to shut down the drama and come back to the place of peace, the place of where you're quiet within your thoughts, and start putting out thoughts of love. Thoughts of love, of gratitude, of thankfulness, of appreciation. So the bloggers that I think they get bad intel, I'm going to put out positive thoughts of love for them. That's why I don't use their names. I'm not here to castigate them. I think they're good people. They just don't know how to think right. And because of that, they are subject to being prone to receiving bad intel. And they feed off of it. They're not bad people. They just don't know how to make a distinction, like, ooh, this isn't really good. This is not good intel. Because they've become addicted to the romanticism in their mind, because they don't want to face into the pain of failure, that I was wrong. I have deceived these people. They just don't want to go there. And how do you change someone like that? You don't change them by castigating them, by, you know, pointing finger at them, by criticizing them, you tell them that they're so stupid. You change them by giving them thoughts of love, because love opens to receive the change.
Yes. And, you know, the Abraham talks about 68 seconds of positive, uplifting thinking. I'm using the kind of different kind of verbiage than if you're familiar with Abraham.
Oh,
but
yeah.
They say that if you can hang on for 68 seconds on a thought process that starts on positive and love and getting into the sort of the vortex of that vibration, that's when you bring good to your life, and that's how things will then manifest for you. I mean, just in general, it's so hard for us as humans to keep our mind on something for 68 seconds. But one thought does produce the next thought, which produces the next thought, which produces the next thought. So if we are conscious and we start the ball rolling with a conscious love thought, for example, the next thought that comes can very well be built on that, and then built on that, and then built on that. And I guess what all I'm saying is that the whole idea of if we can focus on, as you have so well said so many times, on gratitude, on love, on what we have now, et cetera, then I think some of these vibrations can just permeate the universe and we start seeing changes. But the only way we see changes in our world is through the love vibration. And we're so caught up with all of the negativity that's blasted at us from every which way.
Right.
We have to be so discerning of what we read, what we listen to, and so on. So, as you know.
Fiber optics was the word I was looking for with that form of communication. That was what was
Say it again?
Fiber optics. Your thought. See, fiber optic is this very, very fine little tiny fiber, and light codes moves along it, and it's the fastest form of what's called online communication that we have. But our thoughts are very similar to fiber optic transmissions, but they go wirelessly instead of along the fiber optic line. There are literally little tiny microscopic, beyond microscopic, almost at the level of the atom, bits of light, because light carries data and information. And we know that just through fiber optics. We know that through communications of cable communications, phone communications, and stuff like that. It's data bits of information that are forms of light. And so our thoughts do the same things. And so that's why it's extremely important that we're always putting out thoughts of love and not judgment.
Yes.
See, that's why Jesus, in the book of Matthew, you know, Matthew 7:1, where Jesus is saying, judge not, lest you be judged. Don't go around judging people. It's a very low negative energy form of thinking, and all you do is bring it back upon yourself when you do that. Okay? If you put out love, then you bring back love. If you put out judgment, you bring back judgment. And both the Bible and A Course in Miracles both say that the opposite of love is fear. Fear is an extremely powerful energy source. And if you can create fear, you shut people down, is what you do. And that's why the controllers, the cabal, have always used fear as a way of a means to control us. And I talked about that again, you know, in a couple newsletters ago, you know, transforming the world from love to fear. I mean, from fear to love. It's extremely powerful when we do that. And that's what's going to change this. And while I go to, let me just read a couple sentences from an email I got from a friend today. She had a channel message that had come in yesterday. Her name is Jerry. She's a very good friend of mine. And she said it was in the message. She wasn't going to bring up the issue of the RV, but she said it somehow had come up. And that Archangel Michael had said this to her. She said, there's two things that are holding it up, arrogance and avarice. Avarice is that addiction to greed, to having more. That's what that is. And there's two people, Masari and Malaki. Now, Malaki is the prime minister of Iraq, and I think Masari is the head of their Congress or parliament. It says, send them light and the political heads into the Middle East, especially Iraq and Iran, and on your own president. He needs your courage. Do not worry. It isn't far off for you. It's already done. It's basically them releasing them from the negative thoughts into thoughts of love and light. And as we do that, what that was saying in that message is that's when the change is going to come. That's when it will come.
Well, that's great.
That's the most important thing that we can do, and that's one of the new newsletters that I'm going to write, that I'm going to put out there, is it's time for us to step up and do this. And also I think it's something that I had mentioned, you know, I've mentioned this on the last couple of programs as well. Go out and buy 250 dinar notes. You can get 10 of them for $19 and start giving them away. Give away a 250 dinar note to somebody. There's a powerful energy that is released when you start giving away. When you be willing to give, given it will be given back unto you. See, I changed something today. I now carry at least four 250 dinar notes with me, in my pocket with me. And if I see somebody, if I'm listening to the Holy Spirit that says give it to them, I'm pulling it out and I give it to them. It's like giving them $2. Can I give away $2? Absolutely. Absolutely. But what they don't know, that could turn into somewhere between $1,000 and $10,000.
Yeah.
And I tell them that. This is what we need to start doing and transforming and changing our own energy, an energy from anticipating and wanting to an energy of love and giving. And we are the ones that can do that, make a difference.
And if we can focus enough, if enough folks can focus on sending that love to those politicians in Iraq or, you know,
yes.
to Maliki and
yes.
Nasser or whatever his name is, I mean, Sorry. We can just imagine, it just gives me chills that, because we know how powerful one positive thought is that can wipe out, or I read that somewhere, too, something like, you know, thousands and thousands of negative thoughts can be wiped out with one strong, positive, loving thought. That's how strong love is.
One positive, one person with, and I don't, I've heard the numbers, I don't know them, but what I do know, and it's like what you just said, one person with very focused intent of thoughts of love can cancel out well over 1,000 people with negative thoughts of fear.
Yes.
That's how powerful love is.
All of us who are listening to your program, for example, we just really decided, I mean, I'm going to, for sure, and thank you for your information. We'll focus on that every night. Just, you know, send some love that way and release that love, not with a, if I do this, I'm going to get my dinar, you know, reval. Do it for the sake of raising the vibration of the planet and for everyone who will benefit as these things come about. I think that power would be so strong, we would see some things happening pretty quickly. And also our own government could use that kind of love because God knows they've got enough strangeness going on among them and negativity and whatnot that, you know, they're dealing with and projecting and whatnot, that we just have to love them instead of, as you said, judging them. And it's not easy to do sometimes, but I think the folks listening to your program, I think we all get this power that you're talking about.
Well, there's well over 1,000 people a week that listen to this radio program, and if 1,000 of us would just take a couple minutes a day to do that, we could really start changing some things around. So, yeah.
Okay,
good.
Let's make it a project, Dave.
Absolutely, absolutely. If we don't see things by maybe next week, I might do that. Just say let's join in together and make that happen. So.
Wonderful.
I think the blog writers are saying there's nothing more that's left to do. There's nothing in the form of mechanics of fixed computer programs or anything like that. It's now just waiting for the decision makers. So it's a matter of human thought is the only thing that's holding this up. That's it.
Yeah.
Nothing else. And
I
we
got
can
it.
Change that. Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
Good. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm going to let you go because I'm sure there's somebody else waiting in line there to
I do
to
now.
Talk. Oh, great.
You were the only one at first, and all of a sudden, now I've got lots of people lined up.
Hallelujah. Great. Can't wait to hear it all. Okay. God bless you for
you.
All you're doing, and we'll think about that project, okay?
Thanks a lot. Okay. All righty.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Yeah, okay. All righty. Thanks, folks. Boy, that was a great conversation. I really enjoyed that. That kind of got me going in some of my thoughts. So, okay, I'm going to go right on to the next caller. The next caller is calling from area code 913. Area code 913 is the next caller. And you're coming. There you are. Now you're on the line with me, on the air, I should say. I've got a caller from area code 913. What's your name and where are you from?
Marianne.
Hello. Hi, Marianne. How are you?
I'm good, Dave. Thank you.
Good. Where are you from?
The Kansas City area.
What have you got for us?
I just have a quick question, Dave. Is it possible to join us with your 800 group?
I do not have an 800 group per se. I haven't formed one. It would take a ton of work to do that, and it's pretty late to do that. There are some other groups out there that have closed. But the most important thing is to get the release of the 800 numbers to be able to call to set up your appointment. And what I have consistently said is subscribe to the Dinar Recaps newsletter because that is a combination of lots of different people. They all bring them in and they post it on one spot. And there will be 800 numbers coming out through there. And when I get an 800 number, if you're not on my email list, get on my email list. Send me an email to thesedonaconnection@msn.com, DaveSchmidt@msn.com. Ask to be on my email list. And, you know, you get my newsletter, and I'll send it out as well. That's the important
okay, so,
to the group.
So I'm on your email list.
Yep, then you're
what
good.
What if I wanted to just take it in to my bank and ask them to help me with the currency exchange? Do you have to have an 800 number to get this done?
No, but you should. And two reasons why. There is the high probability there's going to be a street rate and then a private group rate exchange, and they're going to be very different. The street rate is what will be published on the foreign exchange. If you just take it into a bank teller window, that's what you'll get. And supposedly, it appears, that's going to be around the 340 to 350, you know, mark in that area. The private group rate could be as high as $36. That's what we're saying.
Right, but they're closed. You can't get into those.
No, that's not true. That's not
okay,
true.
Okay, so explain that.
There are multiple groups. There are some that are going to be broadcast widely. There are some that are going to be broadcast for their own group. See, there's different groups. There's multiple groups out there. The important thing is to have an 800 number so you can set up and sit down in a private exchange one-on-one with a banker. Now, the other thing is the banks may just simply put out 800 numbers because they don't want you coming into bank at the teller window for security reasons. And it's not hard to imagine all of a sudden there's 4 million people around the country. They hear that Dinar just take place, and you go and you walk into the bank the next day, and you're standing in line with 30 people who've all got millions of dollars in their possession. You want to talk about
right.
security risk. See, the banks don't even want to go there. So that's why they may require you. You may walk into a bank and say, we're not even going to exchange it here. Get out of here. Call this 800 number so you can have a private. You know, there's only going to be two or three people of you there at the same time, a specific time at a specific place with a high security there for your protection and ours. See, that's the other reason for the 800 number, because of the security issues as well.
Let me just ask you. I've only gotten on this bandwagon in the last month, and I'm so glad because I wouldn't have wanted to be biting my nails for 2 years. But my sister and her husband are stockbrokers. They've been doing that for 20 years. They have a lot of high-level clients, and I'm certain they understand all of that world. Would it be advisable for me to go to them and say, can you help me get this done?
No. Stockbrokers can't do anything with it. They're stockbrokers.
Right,
they're not currency exchange people. They're not banks.
Right, but they have relationships with banks. But you're saying it's best to go through the 1-800 number.
Leave the banks alone until the 800.
Okay.
Most of the banks, there's so much chaos going around on this thing that most of the banks, the information is coming down from their top management to tell people this is a scam.
Right.
Because they don't want to put themselves in any part of a legal problem. If the banks start coming out and said, oh, yeah, it's real, it's going to take place, and then it doesn't happen, as somebody supposes, they've set themselves up for lawsuits. For just a legal protection of themselves, they are not going to admit that it's going on publicly because it hasn't been released out into the public domain. So leave the banks alone.
I tried to buy some at a bank, and that's pretty much what they said. But
yeah.
So if I call the 1-800 number and I'm just an individual here in Kansas City, what are they going to tell me?
You're going to call the 800 number. They're going to ask you what your zip code is, and they're going to ask you how much dinar dong you have. They may ask for your email to make, if it's a private list, to see that you're on that private list. And then they're going to give you the place and the location to go and the time to set up. They're going to make an appointment for you to go exchange.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So it could be a while if there's a lot of people in line, huh?
Well, no, they want to get this done in a very short period of time. What the blog writers keep saying is they want it done in 4 to 6 days.
If you get an 800 number and put it in your newsletter, that's the 800 number I can use. I could just use yours.
I assume
that you have.
So. Here's what's important for everybody to know. None of is etched in stone. It's all still speculation. It's only mm-hmm. what's being reported. It could change overnight because it's been changing every week. You know, the banks could get together and says, this is how we're going to do it. They could change really quickly, change their mind. It could be that there isn't going to be a street rate and a group rate. It could be that there's only going to be one rate. And it could be they may want you to come to the branch. They're going to sit, there's two things. You know, it's about the groups, but they could cancel the groups overnight if they wanted to. And then it's about security in your exchange.
Sure. I mean, where is all this money going to come from overnight? Is it just going to be numbers in a bank account?
Well, you will have a choice to either cashier's checks goes into your account. They may give you a small amount of cash, but they're not going to let you walk out the door with $10,000 cash.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not going to do that. That's a security risk for you and them. You don't want to go around. Your money's going to go into a bank account, into a digital format, just as it does now. You deposit a check in the bank. What it is, you've got digits in an account. That's what you have. You know, that's how the system works.
If you're not with a group, then you're subject to whatever rate they tell you. You said you are not with the group.
Yes, you're going to be subject to what is the street rate, i.e. the rate that is on the international foreign exchange that's changing second by second, but it changes very little.
So there's no point in shopping around. There is no shopping around for a better rate.
That is not true, because there may be on the private groups, there may be some negotiation going on with different banks, because banks are going to try to get what is called a spread in some of the private meetings. We just don't know. That's the problem. None of this is etched in stone. Nothing is absolute. We won't know until it happens.
I understand what you're saying, Dave, but what I'm asking you is, you know, I can't really figure out how to shop around. I can only call the 800 number and do what they tell me. So if you're not part of a group, you can't shop around. You're saying there are private groups, but I don't know where they are or who they are. I wouldn't know how to become a part of a private group.
There was only a couple private groups that I was aware of, and they've closed. But
right.
There are those groups are still said they're going to release the 800 number. And watch the Dinar Recaps blog. That is your best source of information. You can be guaranteed that when the 800 number is released, people all around are going to be writing and saying, this is what happened to me. This is the experience that I had. This is what I did. I called here. I set up an appointment there. There's going to be so much information coming out from so many people that we will know our options when that happens.
Well, that'll take more than 4 to 6 days.
We don't know that.
Don't you suppose?
We don't,
for all that kind of information to come out and make your decision and bide your time and think it over, don't you think it would take more than 4 to 6 days?
You can do it in 4 to 6 hours if you want to.
No, I'm saying to get it all done. You can't – well, we'll see. I guess we'll just have to see it play out.
Yeah, see, the 800 number could be released. You could be on the phone in 10 minutes setting up your appointment and possibly be in the next day. You don't know that. I don't know that.
But that doesn't give you any time to shop around.
And it's your choice. You could call the 800 number and set up an appointment 5 days out because that's what time you want it to be. And that's a slot
mm-hmm.
that they have available for you. That gives you
mm-hmm.
time to shop around. Call the different banks. Call banks in your community. See what they're doing once it becomes public that it's happened. Then you go on your blog sites. Google it. There's going to be people talking all around the world. There's going to be so much of this going on. You just Google it, you see. And
see,
there's going to be people that are fearful about the NDA, and so they're going to zip their lips and not say anything. But you can't keep this quiet.
Once it's for real, I was wondering, I bank at a small private bank, a local bank, and I'm thinking they might prefer to have my money in their bank, and they could shop around and get me a better price.
I wouldn't plan on that. They could, but I wouldn't plan on it.
That's what I'm just wondering,
because
if there's ways
you know what
to find out.
Well, read the blog sites. There is so much information that is out there. There's just so much information out there. But you have to be able to scan through it and decipher what's realistic and what is not. But there's no lack of information out there. But when you say that, you know, give it to your bank and let them shop for a better price from you, this is my personal opinion. I don't think they're going to do that. You're going to go in and say, this is the price we give today. And if it's a price that's lower than somebody else, they're going to keep that money. They're not stupid. They're going to try to get their best rate for themselves as well. They're in the business of making money for themselves as well. Now, but yes, they want your money in their bank because they want you as a customer with your $1 million in there after that transaction takes place. Now, they're going to roll out the red carpet for you. It could be what you just said. There might be a bank that's going to do that. It's back to we just don't know. But I wouldn't count on that.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't count on it. Might happen, but I wouldn't count on it. Yeah.
All right.
That makes
sense?
Good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. All right.
The
biggest thing is don't worry. Don't be fearful. When it happens, there's going to be so much information about what to do, what's available, because we live in a world where people can get online and everybody's going to want to give their opinion, and they're going to be so excited they want to tell the world when this happens. And so there's going to be so, you know, and if you can't get it off of Dinar Recap, then Google it. You'll find it all over the place. There will almost be an overload of information once it happens.
DinarRecap.com?
Yeah. Get on their newsletter list. They send it out three times a day. No, it's not mine.
Okay.
Dinar Recaps is an independent site that posts a number of different bloggers. It's a compilation of different people who are out there reporting, and that's why it's a good resource.
Okay.
There's a lot of crazy stuff on there. There's a lot of stuff that's filled with fear. It's not all good, and I don't come anywhere close to buying into all of it, but everybody needs to make their own decision on what's comfortable with.
Well, how else do you grow in discernment, huh?
I know.
That's what it's for.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, my dear.
Thank you, Dave.
Okay. Yeah, folks, the most important thing is to know, you know, don't worry about this. Don't allow yourself to fall into fear and be overly concerned about it. There's going to be so much information that is out there and that's going to be available. Because, you know, I know people talk about the NDA, the non-disclosure agreement. I'm sorry, but you can't keep this quiet. You know, it's back to the situation where you could, you know, have a husband and wife, have partners. One person turns it in and signs the NDA, but the other person is totally free to say whatever they want. You know? I mean, hello. You can't stop that. That's why it's the NDA to me is kind of a foolish thing, because how do you enforce it? You can't. So, yeah. Okay. Going to go on to the next caller. And the next caller I have is from area code 657. So we've got a caller from area code 657. Hi, you're on the air with me here. What's your name and where are you from?
Hi, this is Susie Gagne, and I'm from Orange, California.
Hi, Susie. How are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm good. I have a question and a comment. Comment regarding the politicians in Iraq and our President Obama. Rather than just sending them a love and light, I would suggest that perhaps we acknowledge that some souls are recalcitrant, and perhaps it would be better to invite them to recuse themselves and allow a walk-in to come and finish their contract, and send them with love to where, you know, they need to be, because we're holding up the whole planet here and the universe, as a matter of fact. And so it may just be better to say, job well done, thank you for your services, now it's time to move on and bring in a walk-in. I don't think it's our role to try to cajole souls to go against what their wishes are.
You can always send love and light to them. To me, I think that's something we always want to do, you know, regardless, because that love and light can be the thing that can open them up to make a decision to where prior, but if by that not happening, they're blocked, they're mentally blocked, you know. I mean, there's that possibility.
I'm going to also invite them to recuse themselves, because
you can do that
gone
if you want
too
to.
Long. Okay,
I agree.
And my question
you want to do that? Go
is,
right ahead.
my question is regarding banks. Now, I have a unique background in that I have worked for the largest mortgage title company in America that works with the Federal Reserve Bank, Citibank, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, JPMorgan Chase. And this is the complicit entity that has stolen homes from people, stolen accounts from people, basically defrauded people across the world in every way, shape, and form. And I'm finding internal conflict with overnight these banks are going to do the right thing in terms of exchanging dinar.
Well, let
so
me
would
say,
you comment on that, please?
Yes. There's a world of difference of what happens at the banks at the corporate level versus the level of the local branch. The people at the local branch are probably clueless or don't know what's going on at those decisions at the corporate level. And the people at the local branch are there to serve you. They want your money in their branch, and they are going to roll out the red. They are the ones that are going to roll out the red carpet for you. Now, what's happening at the corporate level, that can be an entirely different story. But is, you know, the people at the local branch level, they're paid bonuses based on how many customers they have and how many dollars they have in that branch. And it's just common human, you know, stuff that you're going to operate in your own interest first to do that as long as you're falling in line with the policy of the bank you work for. You want that, those customers for you. So I wouldn't put those in the same category because, you know, what happens at the corporate level, the branch, are two different stories. You can walk into a branch and they can be absolutely wonderful people. Great. They're here to serve you. They want to do that for you. And most of them are going to do that unless they're grumpy inside because they were lied to about, you know, all this being a scam, and they're kind of ticked off because now they got to service all these people coming in with their millions of dollars, and they weren't able to participate in it because they trust their supervisors. You know, there's that possibility. You know,
well,
somebody
I know at the local level, when you go in to cash a simple check that's drawn, let's say, on Bank of America, that teller has an option of whether to charge you a $5 fee or whether to just cash the check, you know. And I find that there are some that are delightful and won't even look up whether or not a fee applies because some accounts, like entertainment partners, for example, they set their account up so no one is ever charged a fee when they primarily go to background extra actors in Hollywood that don't typically deposit their money, but they cash it. But I've run into other people, other tellers that are, you know, trying to collect the fee on entertainment partners' checks, even though the account is set up not to do that.
Well, they may not
know. So I'm like, you know, I don't feel like a true sense of serving the customer goes across the board from the bank manager on down to the last employee.
They're human beings. They're grumpy ones as well as nice ones. They're human beings. And there's all different flavors out there. Yeah, some tellers are going to be grumpy tellers, and some are going to be very nice. But when you walk into a bank with $1 million, you become a different customer. They usually roll out the red carpet for you when you do that. And they're pretty stupid if they don't. You know, if they don't, they're just downright stupid to let that kind of money go away and walk out the door. They're, you know, a good, smart banker. And at that level, you're probably talking with their wealth managers. They're pretty stupid to let you walk out the door with that kind of money. They're going to bend over backwards for you.
I personally think that it's better to, like, take, you know, let's say you had 100 dinar. You know, at the initial 46 days, you know, exchange or cash in, you know, like half and then hold on to half and see what happens? Or give me your thoughts on that.
I'm planning on doing that, but I'm going to be watching it hourly. What I will do, I will watch and see what takes place. The initial news comes out. I may take a little bit into a local bank and cash it in to give me some operating capital. Now, there's also the issue about the FinCEN report. Now, that is a federal report that the bank has to fill out if they give you $10,000 or more of cash. And some of the bloggers are saying that if you fill out a FinCEN report, you will not be eligible for the larger group rate. We don't know that. We don't know what's going to happen until it happens. I would be watching out for that. And that's why if you take in a $25,000 note, you're already going to be over the $10,000 mark. If you take in a $250 note, you may not be. We just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them say that. I want to wait and see what's going to happen. I want to see what people are talking about. I want to see about our different rates taking place at different places. So a lot of it I'm just going to wait and see, and I'll make a decision within a couple hours, and that's when I'll call in and make my appointment, and I'll at that point decide, am I going to try to get my appointment tomorrow, or am I going to set it 3 to 5 days out? It's based on the information that comes out in those first couple hours. That's kind of how I'm doing.
Boy, your comments resonate with me. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah.
I really appreciate your thoughts.
It's just because we just don't know. People say this is going to happen, that's going to happen, this is going to take place, but they don't give any verification of it. It's just their opinion, stuff that's being told to them, but there's nothing verified, and yet it could still change overnight. So that's why I say none of this stuff is etched in stone. Be prepared to be flexible and mobile when it happens.
Great.
And then your decision. But the best thing I could share with you and the others, if you're not certain what to do, then write down a game plan based on different scenarios. If scenario A happens, okay, if scenario A happens, I'm going to do steps 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. If scenario B happens, I'm going to do steps 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. If you're uncomfortable with this, if you're not certain what to do, write your game plan down because then you'll be more clear about what decision to make when it happens.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, Dave. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, you're done?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, alrighty, thanks.
All
right,
bye-bye now. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye, yeah.
Bye.
Okay. Yeah, folks, that's really important. If, if you're not certain about what to do, if it's kind of confusing because you're not comfortable in working with banks, then write it down. Write a game plan down for yourself. Do that, and that's what will be really helpful for you, okay? All right, going to go on to another caller. This caller is coming from area code 310. I've got a caller here, area code 310. You're
hey,
here
Dave.
On the air with me. Hi, what name
Hi,
and where are you from? Hi. I'm sorry, go ahead.
In regards to the NDA and it getting out there, I know when I first bought my dinar and dong, the first thing I said was I was going to donate to the Wounded Warriors Project, and that was like months ago. And now when I'm on the chats or in the forums, lots of people are going to be giving to Wounded Warriors. That's like the number one thing I'm seeing people want to donate to. And my feeling is when Wounded Warriors all of a sudden is getting these millions and millions and millions of dollars, because that's what I plan on getting is $1 million to Wounded Warriors, because I was in the streets protesting against the Vietnam War in the 60s and against the Iraq War in, lately. I think when they get all these millions, I think it's going to be, they're going to say, where the hell is this money coming from? And I think it's going to be out there.
I do, too. There is no way you can keep this quiet.
And the other
sorry.
Thing with the whole thing that's happening in the Philippines, I'm going to donate, to the Philippines, and I think a lot of people will, because from what I'm reading on the blogs is that a lot of these people have come to this money not as an investment, but as a blessing in order to pay it forward. And I'm seeing that I'd say it's more people in that mindset than people who want to just become millionaires for the sake of becoming millionaires.
Sure. Yeah. No, I agree with you. And, the NDA, you might have to sign it if you want the higher rate. And in my estimation, this is just my opinion, I don't think it's going to be enforceable very long. I think it will be thrown out because it's it's impossible to enforce. You can't keep people quiet, and it'll leak out somewhere. And how are you going to prove that it got leaked out? You can't stop information coming out on the internet. People can go in and they can set up, you know, a bogus email and just start blogging all around the world. They can set up bogus, you know, Facebook accounts with some pseudonym and just start putting out whatever they want. You got millions and millions of people all around the world that are going to get this, and you can't keep it quiet. And there's going to be some reporter out there that's going to capture that it was trying to be kept quiet, and he's going to want to be a hero and become the next, you know, win the next, you know, whatever, Pulitzer Prize by talking about the greatest cover-up in the history of the human race, you know, because that's what it will attempt to be. Mm-hmm. This will be one of the biggest, because you're going to try to silence, you know, 3 to 5 million people all around the world. How are you going to do that?
Well, and I mean, what a cover-up. The FDA is, as for my protection, too. I'm glad I can't talk to anybody about it. It'll keep my mouth shut. It'll protect me.
Right. And if you want to, you know, it's your prerogative. But what I just say, you know, people get to do what they want to do, but it's just not enforceable. It's just not. That's the issue. So, yeah.
So. Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
Good. Thanks. Have a good evening.
Good night.
Okay, good night. Mm-hmm. Yeah, folks, I know I haven't talked a whole lot about the NDA tonight because, you know, it's out there. They say that, I mean, the latest thing today that one of the bloggers says, you know, he's going to have a big party in Las Vegas. And when you come to Las Vegas, you have to bring a copy of your NDA just to get into his party. Well, you know, take your copy, white out part of it, put somebody else's name in there who didn't even exchange the dinar. They get to go in and they can start blabbing all they want, and they were never given any dinar. And what are you going to do? It's stuff like that that is just this. You know, the whole issue here, it has 1,000 loopholes that you could drive 1,000 Mack trucks through it. So, and I don't need to talk about that anymore. So, okay, let's go on to the next caller. Next one coming in is from area code 416. So here you are. You're on the air with me. What's your name and where are you from?
It's Tom from Toronto. How are you doing?
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Not too bad. I just have a question regarding Afterit RVs. Wouldn't the fiat-based currency still continue?
Yes, absolutely. Of course they will. I mean, you're not going to have an overnight change from a fiat currency to a treasury-based currency, because all of a sudden that money becomes worthless, and that would just create wars all around the world. Mm-hmm. You know, we forget there is more physical currency outside of the United States than there is inside of the United States. Now, can you imagine if that currency overnight became worthless? You would have literally hundreds of governments and scores of millions of people pissed off at the United States, ready to create a war. Because, see, the U.S. currency is still the world's reserve currency.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you go into some of these third world countries, they would rather have a U.S. dollar than money of their own country because they know it's more secure. They know their currency can fall apart overnight, but the U.S. dollar won't. So what I think they will do, they'll just phase, you know, they will honor all the Federal Reserve notes. They'll start putting out new money, and the old stuff will get phased out, and new stuff will get phased in. It'll be the same way as when we were taken off the gold standard and the dollar bill didn't say silver certificate at the top anymore. You know, the silver certificate didn't go away overnight. It was slowly phased out and the new one phased in. And it's the same way. Otherwise,
wouldn't the cabal get richer because of the RV? Since he probably bought a lot of dinar and dong?
I think that's what's been delayed so much, one of the reasons why. And making sure that they're not going to be. They know who they are. You know, it comes back to who's footing the bill. If it's the money coming out of the Dragon family in China, they know who the cabal is, and they're going to make sure you get nothing, in my estimation.
Mm.
I think that's what they know. You guys are getting anything out of this. You already screwed up the world economy. We're not going to let you get wealthy off of this. And I think that's what they're going to do. because they know who they are. They monitor their bank accounts. They'll just close their account down and they'll say, you know, those, you know, they're controlled, they're monitored, they've been worked with in advance, they've already been talked to. They know it's a game over. I think that's one of the reasons why this has continued to drag on, because they wanted to make sure that they could identify who those people were to make sure that they can come back in and try to control the world again. Yeah.
One last question. Is that 800 number? Do you think it would be a North American-wide 800 number as opposed to a U.S.-only 800 number?
Everything I am reading is U.S. only, and you guys in Canada will probably have to come down here, is because it's private groups who set it up.
So how would you be able to call in from Canada for the 800 number? You couldn't actually even call in.
Yeah, you could. You can call an 800 number from Canada.
Well, sometimes some numbers are U.S. only, and you can't call in from Canada.
Well, get a cell phone where you can call internationally. Get on a phone where you can call internationally.
Okay.
You can. What I have shared with some of the other Canadians is to get a zip code down in the United States somewhere that you know you want to come to, and know that in advance before you make that call. Where do you want to come in the United States? Okay, and have a zip code for that region to where you would come to. Now, again, it's one of those things we just don't know. I don't want to sound facetious on this. We just don't know. Maybe if the 800 number is nothing more than for a security reason, maybe they might have 800 numbers for you guys in Canada. For the private groups, those are in the United States only, because it was just individuals in the United States that set that private group up, and nobody else in the other countries have done that, at least that I know of. You know,
okay.
If they're out there, I'm not familiar with them. So. Okay?
Thanks very much, Dave.
You bet. Anything else? Okay. Thanks a lot. Have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
Okay. I don't have anybody else on the phone right now. If any of you folks want to do a chat, call in. The number is 646-716-8069. You will be the first one up, the next one. You do that. And you press 1 on your touch-tone phone. Oh, somebody just pressed 1 on their touch-tone phone. So here we go. I will go right onto it. It's an area code 70, and it just came up. I'm bringing you on the line now. Code 70, you're on the air. What's your name, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Dave. This is Jim in Atlanta.
Hi, Jim. How are
you?
Good
to say hello.
Thank you. You too. What can I do for you?
Let me make sure I'm off speaker here.
There you go. Yeah, you're sounding fine here.
Okay, let me not so much a question, maybe get your opinion. Hearing conflicting reports for people who have both dong and dinar, is it just an opinion? You can't tell me what to do. Is it better to cash in both at one time in one bank? I'm personally thinking it makes sense to go to two different banks with these so that I have my money spread around. Just any opinion?
Well, when you have that kind of money, and this is my opinion, it's wise to have more than one bank, because they are in the customer service business, and it gives you the leverage of leveraging one over another if there's a certain type of a service that you want for them. And bank, believe me, they're going to be fighting to keep you there as a customer. I don't know if it's necessary to put the dong in one bank and the dinar in another bank. I know some of the bloggers are saying you should put those in separate accounts. I don't buy into that. The reason is because they think that, you know, the dinar is going to be fiat currency. I mean, the dong is going to be fiat currency. The dinar is not. None of that is substantiated. It's all speculation. We just don't know. And you can change it overnight if you want to. Now, if you want to set up two separate accounts, go for it. You know, do whatever you feel comfortable with. But, you know, this comes from my own background and experience in banking and finance. When you have that kind of money, it's just wise to have more than one bank.
That's what makes sense to me also.
Set up a bank.
Yeah,
you know, set up one bank for certain types of how you use your money, another account and another bank for certain types of how you use your money, you know, so it's easier to just, you know, so that you know what are you using it for, just in the back of your mind. But, you know, you may want to go in someday and you want a certain type of a service from that they offer, and it's maybe it's one of the negotiable things, and you're now in a position to negotiate because you got more than one bank to negotiate with, you know.
Right.
And you can walk into banker A and say, well, I want to do this. And banker says, well, I can't do that for you. He says, well, banker B will do it for me. And if banker B does it for me, that means I'm taking my money over to bank B, you know. Well, what are they going to do? They're going to bow down for you and do it.
Right.
It gives you good work relationships with them. So.
Right. And this just turns that, let's say not even the highest rate, halfway high. That's a lot of money to put into one bank just to start with, especially for people who aren't used to this kind of banking.
Absolutely. You know, here's what I have. Right now, I have 3 bank accounts and 2 brokerage accounts, and I'm going to spread my money out amongst all 5. And that's what I have personally. But, you know, I understand. I do my own trading. I've been an online trader for close to 17 years. I do day trading, so I understand the market from that perspective. And so I'll have 2 different brokerage accounts that I use for different types of trading. And I'll have a lot of money, and I will probably have more money in my brokerage accounts than I will in the banks. Those accounts are insured differently because, see, those are the accounts that are accustomed to having millions of dollars in them in a brokerage firm.
And that's what we'll be learning about with our private banker meetings, right? And continued education. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. See, and here's what you do. When you go into a bank and you're going to put $1 million in the bank, those banks are going to have what are called wealth managers. They're like financial planners. And if you don't have a personal financial planner, that's a good place to start because that wealth manager will help you. As long as you keep that money like that in their bank, they're going to bend over backwards for you. They will become a resource for you. They can help point you in the right place in the right way. And then after the money comes through, the education process starts, just as you said. We need to educate ourselves how to be millionaires because most of us don't know how. And there will be all kinds of seminars, workshops, et cetera, stuff like that. And they're what's called asset managers, wealth managers. And we're going to have a conference here in Sedona a couple months after that happens and bring in some of those people just to come together and celebrate. And we will look at it from the full perspective. We'll have practical workshops of CPAs, tax accountants, wealth managers, asset protection, and we're going to be bringing in people who talk about how do you handle your money from a spiritual perspective as well. So we'll have it all.
Well, I will be there.
And Sedona is a wonderful place to come and visit. We love here, so, yep.
Thanks so
especially
much, Dave.
Especially if we did in February. For the guy that just called from Toronto, they're in the freezing weather right now. They'd love to come down here in February.
And it's freezing right now in Atlanta also. So
I know. You guys on the East Coast got hit with a cold wave big time.
Yeah, the shock.
Yeah. It didn't hit us here. I mean, it was a wonderful, warm, sunny 74 degrees here today in Sedona. So, yeah. Now, I went on the Weather Channel and looked at their temperature map, and it's just like it's from, right around the Iowa-Nebraska coming down up to Oklahoma line. Everything to the east is freezing, and everything to the west of that is okay. So, yeah. Okay.
Well, listen, Dave, thanks so much for everything.
My pleasure. Thanks. Have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
Okay, good night. Still have one more caller, and I'll go on to the next one because I got about 20 minutes left on the program here tonight, folks. And I am able to stay here for 2 hours. So we're going on to the next caller. Area code is 757. You're on the air here with Dave. What's your name and where are you from?
Hi, my name is Mary. I'm from Virginia. And
hi, Mary.
I have 2 quick questions. The first one is, what about the Delarue machine that validates the currency rather than using the currency books that they have at the banks?
I wouldn't worry about it. If you're going into a private appointment with an 800 number, they are going to be prepared whether a Delarue machine or not because they will have trained their employees how to spot it. And the vast majority of the dinar and dong is going to be brand new currency. They will know how to look for it, how to feel it, how to hold it up to the light, you know, they're going to check it out and make sure it's authentic. It's in their best interest more than yours. You know it's real. And if you walk in with it and they say it's not, you're walking out the door with your $1 million to a different bank. Do you think they're not going to be prepared for you? Of course they are. I wouldn't worry about it. That's me.
Okay, that's a good point. My second question is with regards to the currency itself and splitting the currency between my husband and myself and doing two separate exchanges. He will exchange his, I will exchange mine, set up accounts, et cetera.
I would say do whatever you feel comfortable with. And let me share a thought.
Yeah, pros and cons be of that.
Pros and cons, you can spread it out. You can spread it out between yourself and your husband. Depends on how good your relationships are between you, the two of you. Do you immensely trust each other? And I'm not even going to go there. But the other thing, the big thing, is signing the NDA. And that's something that you guys need to make a decision on yourself with what you're comfortable with. You may want to have only one person cash it all in, so only one of you has to sign it, and the other isn't under that obligation. Or you may want it the other way around. It may be that you want both of you to sign it because you don't want to feel the pressure that you can't talk to the other person about it. You know, we just don't know. That's the biggest thing. But setting the NDA issue aside, it's not a bad idea to spread it out between both of you, open up multiple accounts in multiple banks for both of you, depending on how much money that you have. That's not a bad idea either. You know, you may want to set up one account as a mutual account. You may want to set up another account. This is like he sets up an account for him, that's his play money, and you set up an account for you, and that's your play money. And you guys decide what you want to do, how you want to do that. You know, it's just, there's different ways to look at it. What I would do is you and your husband sit down and talk with each other and write out a plan with different scenarios. Think of the different scenarios that could come up and what would be the plan that you would do underneath of each of those scenarios. Then you're prepared and you're ready. That way then you're not second guessing and you're not making decisions under stress. And you're not going to end up getting into arguments with each other when the time comes. Because that's a stressful time when that decision happens. And you have to walk in the bank and you don't know if you're going to have to sign an NDA or not. And what are you going to do and where are you going to put money? Sit down and write out a game plan. That will relieve you of so much stress if you do that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And we have done that. And I thought that the issue of splitting it was the right thing to do. And it just occurred to me, though, you know, to just ask for some of your thoughts. And I really appreciate it. Thank you, Dave.
It doesn't hurt to do it. It's you're usually you're better off to do it than not do it, because it's like, you know, you and your husband sit down and say, what do you want to do with the money? You know, and it's not a bad thing. It says, okay, how much play money did he get to have for just him? And
right.
Let him have it. And the same with you. How much play money do you get to have? What are the decisions that you need to make together? And you may want to set up different accounts for each of those. See,
right.
Those are the things that you release each other in abundance and say, go have your fun. Bless
Absolutely.
You. I honor you. Bless you. Go have your fun. And then you don't get mad at each other about who spent what on what.
Right.
And
yeah.
It's not a bad idea. Just, I mean, if you ask me one or the other, I'd say do it. Yeah, because it's just kind of a common sense thing.
Right. Well, thanks very much.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Have a wonderful evening. Okay. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. I still have another caller. You folks are still calling in. Thank you very much. I'm going on to the next caller calling from area code 817. You're on the air here with me. What's your name and where are you from?
This is Wes calling from Texas.
Hi, and Wes. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. And you know, definitely the first thing you got to do is turn the money over to your wife. I guess that should go without saying.
you already made that call,
I want to thank you and your caller from Tucson for your comments. They're very timely and just right on the mark. I'm reminded of what Bruce Lipton talked about, the state of chaos that happens before you get into the new paradigm, the new creation. I think that's where we are. And as you alluded to, balance and patience is where we need to be right now.
Just be directing positive thoughts of love and care and gratitude to people around all this stuff. That's what's going to change it. At least that's my opinion. So, yeah.
And I definitely would vote for this project you're talking about.
Yeah. So, Wes, what part of Texas are you from?
North Texas, southwest of Fort Worth.
You guys freezing over there tonight?
No, but we're cold enough.
Colder than what you're normally used to, huh?
Yeah, 40 degrees. Yeah,
40 degrees.
Cold enough. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We see this as a means to an end. You know, we're hoping to get through this money real quick. I mean, it'd be gone as soon as it gets here, almost. We've got a list of places, like another caller was mentioning, you know, paying it forward. There's so many wonderful organizations out there that could really use this. And,
you know, there are. And you guys have done a great job. And I think that's the thing I could recommend, you know, to everybody listening is make a list before the RV, and it's going to relieve you of so much stress. Because, you know, we're human beings, and when you get all this money coming in, if you haven't been used to that, you're stepping into a world and arena that it's foreign to you. You don't know what to do, and sometimes your mind gets kind of cluttered, and if you've made your list in advance, it's a whole lot easier for you. And or some folks, instead of making the list, know what you're going to do. Maybe you want to pay off all your debt, pay all your bills off, take a vacation, and let it sit for a while. And then in the process, decide. But be wise. Just be wise. Have a clear mind about what you're doing. So, yeah. Okay,
thank
well,
you
any,
so
anything
much,
else for you, Wes?
And thank everyone else who's putting their energy into this. We're going to make
good.
It happen.
Thanks for calling.
Good
me.
Night.
Okay, good night. Yeah. Okay, I still got one more caller coming up, and this caller is from area code 303. Caller, area code 303, what's your name and where are you from?
My name is Margaret, and I'm from Colorado.
Hi, Margaret.
Hello. Dave, I have just one question. Is there a template for the gifting letter?
You could Google it.
I
just
did.
Just go in and Google
and
a template for a gift letter, and you will get all kinds of different examples.
I did. Is there any specific one or anything, you know, are there specific things that you need to have on that so that you're not in conflict with the IRS?
No, not really. It's just stating who you are that's giving it, who you are giving it to, when you give it, and how much money it is. Those are your basic elements. And sometimes it's not bad to have a witness sign it as well, other than just the two parties. You have a third independent witness sign it. It's just different for different people. The IRS, I don't know if they have – you could probably go in and Google IRS and see if they have a gift letter, a specific format. I don't think they do. First of all, if it's for the IRS, the only time you need to bring it up is if you're audited. If you're not audited,
correct,
you don't have to worry about it.
Correct.
It's only there as a backup in case you're audited.
But if I have a number of them, I would think maybe that would put up the red flag.
Yes, and then if you have a number of them, then you should do a number of gift letters for each one,
mm-hmm,
because that's
mm-hmm
true. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
So you
and
also
they should be notarized?
That's usually not a bad idea. It's not always a requirement.
Okay.
But it's also not a bad idea to work with a CPA and maybe set up an LLC business account, operate this as a business, and then it becomes also more tax deductible because you can use it as a business gift, as a gift from the business versus out of yourself personally.
Mm-hmm. Except if I give at least $14,000, I can still, it still will be a a tax deduction for me and for them also. I mean, they will not be taxed.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. You can do that. So there's advantages by having it done as a business versus as an individual.
Correct. No. And I have been in business, so yeah, I know that.
You get
also, it's 10,000 that sets up a red flag, or over 10,000 at a bank. If I were to deposit under 10,000, that probably doesn't.
My understanding, the FinCEN report has to be filled out if it's a cash transaction of $10,000 or more. Because if it's a check transaction, they can always trace it. They can trace the physical document of a check.
Okay. So what you're saying is for every gift that I give that's over $10,000, there has to be a FinCEN document.
No, not. That's only when it's a transaction taking place inside of a bank.
I'm going to be doing a cashier's checks.
Oh, well, I think they will, because cashier's check is a form of cash. I don't know exactly on cash currency versus a cashier's check on the FinCEN report, but I would just plan on it. But
yeah,
anyway, FinCEN report, it's not that big of a deal. It was a law that came out of after 9/11 because they wanted to be able to trace large cash transactions for purposes of people that might be terrorists bringing money into the country, or drug dealers. That was its primary purpose. And remember, when this happens, there's going to be millions of those filed every day for 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
So they're not going to be able to track every single one of them.
Sure.
They just don't have time.
Yeah. I just want to make sure that I'm in compliance, just in case.
Yeah, right.
I'm afraid. I'm not trying to put a fear factor in there. I just want to make sure that I am copacetic with what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Good.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate
Alrighty.
This, and have a good evening.
Thank you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Going to one more caller, area code 416. You're coming up on the air next here. You're on the air with Dave, area code 416. What's your name and where are you from?
Hello, David. My name is Neil, and I'm calling from Toronto.
Hi, Neil.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Okay. I particularly want to thank you for finally somebody bringing up the dong. It's as if the dong doesn't exist. And I bought dong at your recommendation in one of your blogs, and I can find so little about it. Everybody's talking about the dinar. So do you have a recommendation of somewhere where I can find more about the dong, and particularly under Canadian circumstances?
Dongs, because they are traded on the open market, the current foreign exchange market, they can normally be purchased at any bank. They may have to order it for you. They may not have it in possession. You could go into an airport at a, the cash kiosk there where you exchange currencies there. You can go online to travelex.com, but you have to have a minimum purchase of $250 to do that with them online.
No, I was aware of that, and I do already have the dong. It's just that, for example, you talk about trying to negotiate with banks. Well, in the United States, you have thousands of these banks, including small ones, which they'd be happy to fight for the money. But here in Canada, we just have 5 or 6 huge banks, and I don't even know if they would fight about it.
Don't know, but here's in Canada, I know TD Bank and Royal Bank of Canada have cross-border accounts.
Uh-huh.
And you can set up, if you have an account with them in Canada, they will set up a corresponding account that will have a U.S. bank account number and routing number on it. And so you can do transactions across border. And I said Royal Bank of Canada and TD have that.
Okay. Well, Thank you. I knew that. I don't have any denial, so I don't have a problem in that respect.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'd like to be able to negotiate the spread, but as I said, the Canadian banks are so huge, I don't know if they'd shift at all. But anyway, I want to thank you for all you've been doing, and it's been very instructional. I'm just glad I've only been in this for 3 months. I can't believe there are people who've been in it for 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
Waiting for
yeah.
something to happen.
Well, there's actually been some that are longer. Well, no, I think it was 2003 is when they changed the currency over. It was when they got rid of the old currency that had Saddam's picture on it and brought the new currency in. And I think that's when they made the change. That's why you don't see very many people for more than 10 years, because the old Saddam currency isn't any good anymore. They had, you have some of that, that ain't going to fly. That's my understanding. So, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
It's one thing you said this evening which shocked me a little bit, because I had assumed and thought I'd read that when the dinar comes available, that the dong automatically becomes available. But you're saying there are two different things and they may not come together.
That is true. See, the Iraqi dinar can revalue all on its own, just by itself. The others are dependent upon the global currency reset. And most people are saying it's very likely they're going to try to do all of them at the same time. But we just don't know. So you could see a dinar exchange first, and the dong may take, who knows. They're two separate scenarios. One is dependent upon the country of Iraq within itself and bringing itself back onto the international market. And the dong is dependent upon the global currency reset. And there's no guarantee they'll both happen at the same time.
Okay,
so
we just don't know.
Okay.
Thank you. That's it, and all the best.
Thanks. Have a great evening. I sure will. I'm loving it, what I'm doing. Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Good night. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, folks, I'm down to just a little over 2 minutes left here tonight. I want to thank you very much. Wonderful, wonderful job calling in, all you folks. I appreciate what you've done. You called in. Great conversations tonight. If I could wrap up, boy, it's what I talked about with the first caller on the program tonight from Tucson here in Arizona about just silence the drama thoughts. Get control of all those thoughts going in your mind, because they're sending out like cell phone communication waves of information, and some of them have very high positive vibrations and some of them have very low negative vibrations. Our thoughts affect our world. Your thoughts create the world that you live in. Your thoughts create your circumstances. We are just beginning to understand that. And this is now all proven by science. It's been proven in laboratories. It's just it hasn't come into the point where we understand it and make it be a common part of our lives. But we're beginning to move in that direction. That's why it's so positive and so important that we just put out positive thoughts of love and care and concern and thankfulness and gratitude for the people who are making the decisions. Predominantly right now, it's Maliki, the Prime Minister of Iraq, and Morsi, and I believe he's, you know, the head of the Iraqi Parliament. I wasn't able to get his title, I mean, of what he does. But what I understand is those are the key people. It's now down to them. And they need to know that they're loved. They need to feel and experience that. So it helps relieve them. Because if they don't have that, it's like there's this block of this wall that's negativity stuff that's always coming at them. And when love does, love tears that down. Love strips the wall down and opens them up to be able to receive and to hear. Let's be there. That is the thing, in my opinion, and what's holding this up more than anything else. You can talk about the bloggers, you can talk about specifics, but those are just surface issues that are the reflection of what's happening on the inside. So, okay, great program to everybody. Loved it. Love you all. It's time for me to kind of say goodbye for tonight. So, okay, have a wonderful evening. I'll send out another newsletter probably around this weekend. Send me an email if you're not on my email list. Would love to have you there. Good night, everybody. Okay, thanks a lot.